One or two thoughts about Zacchaeus this morning in Luke chapter 19. He lived in Jericho. And you only lived in Jericho basically if you couldn't live anywhere else. Jericho had an infamous history. About 1,200, 1,300 years before this day when Jesus was in Jericho, when the people of God were marching to the promised land and they encircled the city, God turned its walls into rubble and dust. God's people were victorious and eventually marched to the promised land. God said something very powerful, challenging about Jericho on that day. God said, no one is ever to rebuild the city of Jericho. It's gone. It should never be rebuilt. And God pronounced a curse, actually. And those who might be tempted to rise up and rebuild the city of Jericho. Not everyone listens to what God says, and rebuild it they did. And those who did, you can read the story, the record, it's here for us, suffered the consequences. The city was rebuilt. Now it's well over 1,000 years later when Zacchaeus is living in Jerusalem. It has a reputation now as it had then. It was peopled by the disloyal, by tax collectors. That great parable of the Lord Jesus, someone traveling from Jerusalem on the heights where the temple was to Jerusalem, the depths, the city of sin, the city of destruction. It was a city of entertainment. It was the Las Vegas of the time of the Lord Jesus. And these were the kind of people who lived in Jericho. No surprise then that Zacchaeus lived in Jericho. The disloyal were happy to be in Jericho. And Zacchaeus was disloyal. Disloyal to the Jewish nation in which he was born and brought up. And that he became a tax collector for the Romans. He was collecting taxes from the Jews and paying them to a foreign, intimidating nation. And of course the Jews were subject to and hated. And most good people on their way to Jerusalem to worship at the temple would bypass Jericho. They wouldn't go through the city of Jericho. In case they would be contaminated by the sin, the vice, the entertainment that went on in the city of Jericho. And now Jesus is on his last earthly journey. He approaches the city of Jericho, heals the blind man. And of course his followers are with him. The entourage, wherever Jesus was, there was the crowd. And the crowds assumed that Jesus would also bypass Jericho. And so arrive at the destination of Jerusalem. But our reading tells us that Jesus entered Jericho. Much to the dismay, perhaps, of his followers. Jesus finds himself in Jericho. Because as it was mentioned in the opening prayer of our service this morning, to demonstrate that there is no one outside the scope of the love of God. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. We comfort ourselves, we challenge ourselves with that great thought today that there's no one in this whole world beyond the scope of the love of God. God loves them, everyone. God may not appreciate the sins that we commit, but God loves every single one. And we can pray for everybody in the whole world today, knowing that it's possible for each one, if they repent, if they turn from their sins, to be reconciled to God and to be saved eternally. Have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Actually, Jesus has come to demonstrate that God loves them all, but he has come on this occasion to specifically look for, to search out, and to have an encounter with one single person whose name is Zacchaeus, the wealthy tax collector who we believe at this stage in his life has an empty heart. And Jesus has come to look for someone who has lost his way, spiritually speaking. The aim and the outcome of Jesus' visit to Jericho summed up in the words, the Son of Man, who is Jesus Christ himself, he is God in human flesh. So when Jesus comes, God comes. The Son of Man has come to seek. It's not that God doesn't know where Zacchaeus lives. Not that God doesn't know about any of us, our names, and so much about us. But he has come to make Zacchaeus aware that he's here, seeking him. And he's going to have a personal encounter with Zacchaeus. He's come to seek and to save, to reconcile, to transform, to give eternal life to the one who is lost, and perhaps many others who are the lost in Jericho. Jesus is going to find him, and he's going to save him. And the little story is recorded for us here so we can follow the simple story of the life of Zacchaeus and how he encountered the Lord. And he was transformed and changed eternally. A few things about him. Number one, it sounds a big word, but as simple as predisposition. Thinking during the service, his pre-program. You know, Zacchaeus is like all of us. We have a predisposition to look after and care for ourselves. All of us are pre-programmed that way. Most important person in the world is ourselves. Really. And it's obvious that Zacchaeus was predisposed to care for himself. He not only was a tax collector, the word is he was the supervisor of the tax collectors. He was in charge of them, the whole inland revenue system. Zacchaeus was at the very top. And because of it, he became rich. He was rich. He was wealthy. And his wealth is testimony to his predisposition to look after self. Successful in his career. And the success was so much that it put him into the rich list. He would be there today. So what more do you need in life than to be rich? Most people long to be rich. Most people work hard in life. Not just to survive, but to have something more. And work incredibly hard, many people do, to be rich, to be wealthy, to be well off. Some people do the lottery to be rich. They might hit the jackpot, wealthy. Lots of other people invent ways to create wealth. We want to be well off. That's our disposition. But the testimony then, and the testimony now, is that riches aren't everything. Money doesn't solve every problem. Those who have riches want more of them. And if you read the reports of those who won the lottery, most of them will testify to the fact that it really has not brought them peace or happiness. It actually has ruined their lives. And people who have riches want more riches. There is no such thing as stopping at a certain level. The more you have, the more you want. And the desire grows in parallel with the amount of wealth that you acquire. So Zacchaeus was wealthy, but an emptiness he had that money couldn't fill. And so it was, he had a desire to see Jesus. He had this desire within his heart to see God, to engage with the eternal and the spiritual. And Zacchaeus is in good company when he wants to see Jesus. You remember wise men from the east made a very long journey, and the outcome of their journey was to see Jesus, the baby Jesus who was born. God had somehow revealed to them that the greatest discovery in life was to meet Jesus, to see Jesus and to worship him. The Greeks came to Philip, the apostle, and said to him, we would love to see Jesus. With their education, with their sophistication, civilization, the Greeks, they come, they want to see Jesus. Perhaps we could read into that, that they want to engage with that eternal also. Herod the Tetrarch, the politician, the governor, the ruler. We read that he longed to see Jesus. Heard about the miracles, the people movement. He wanted to see Jesus. And so Nicodemus wants, Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. And I'm sure every one of us this morning, the very fact that we're here, would indicate that we want to encounter that which is spiritual, which is eternal, which is divine. Predisposition, yes, all of us have that self. We're kind of pre-programmed to look after ourselves. But there comes a time in life. It's wonderful when it comes when we're young. And we recognize we need to think bigger. You need to ask the big questions in life. Some of you may have heard the discussion this week on the BBC. I was driving a lot this week and I heard a number of these discussions. And one was about the relevance, of course, of Easter and the Cadbury's event. And David Robertson was brought on to speak for the Christians. And then someone from the secular society was brought on. And I'll not forget what the man from the secular society said. He said, you know, lots of people in our country live perfectly fulfilled lives without God and without religion. David Robertson was trying to point out the importance of Christ dying on a cross, being crucified for our sins, to forgive us our sins. And what the man from the secular society was saying was true of Zacchaeus up to this point in his life. It was more or less a fulfilled life. His money was okay. Until he begins to think bigger. And I thought to myself after the interview, man from the secular society, grow up, man, and ask some of the big questions. Where have we come from? And where are we going to? What's the purpose of existence? If it's only to live physically and die. I remember figuring that out as a young person. What's the point? What's the purpose in being here? And that question can only be answered in a relationship with God, where we will live way beyond this life and live eternally. So his predisposition is similar to ours. Second thing about Zacchaeus was his problem. It's raised here, you know, he wanted to see Jesus, but he had a difficulty, and the difficulty was so simple. He was a short man and he couldn't see because of the crowds of people that were there. Perhaps a physical disability. It wasn't a serious thing. He didn't grow as tall as other people. It says here that he was a short man. All of us suffer from this physical disability in that our lives are short. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, the binding of a sheaf, the in time. In the news every week, there are people who die young. And each of our families, we face challenges, physical challenges. And we come to the point that we have to recognize that life, even we live a long time, is short. Zacchaeus is a short man. And we're all short in time. His problem, he had a physical problem. He also had a social problem. You know, he was treated as an outcast because he collected taxes from the Jews for the Romans. And if he was in a crowd, no one would move over to give space for Zacchaeus to see Jesus. But like his biggest problem was a spiritual problem. Jesus would look into his heart and diagnose the situation of Zacchaeus as being lost. He was spiritually lost, wealthy but spiritually bankrupt. And so perhaps are we all. If all we've got is riches, or the wealth, or the things of time, So he's predisposed to look after himself. He has a problem, as we all have. Zacchaeus is an intelligent, able man. He surveys the situation and he comes up with a plan. And I like Zacchaeus for this, because he sees that he will never see Jesus with the crowds around, and he surveys the situation, and I think he runs ahead of the crowd down the road, on the road to Jerusalem, or up the road perhaps, it's better. And I think he gets around a corner where the crowd doesn't see him, and he climbs a tree so that he can hide and somehow look down and see Jesus passing. Nothing will stop Zacchaeus from getting to see Jesus. Yes, there might be difficulties, there may be challenges, but he has an intelligent, he has a clever plan. He doesn't climb something like a telegraph pole where everyone will see him. The type of tree that he climbs is a tree with branches right down to the ground, so it's easily climbed, and you can hide in the branches and the foliage and look down to see the crowd. And he somehow will see Jesus without being noticed. I wonder what you think of an Inland Revenue supervisor climbing a tree. It wasn't the usual thing for a man in his social status to do. But nothing about this day was usual. The person who was passing through Jericho was not a usual person. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. And he's come to Jericho to look out for Zacchaeus and others. And it's not a usual journey that the Son of God is on. It's his last earthly physical journey. He's on his way up to Jerusalem, where he knows he will be crucified. Suffer that barbaric torture on the cross for the sins of the world. So that Zacchaeus and every other person, every other sinner in the world who repents of their sin and trusts in him can be pardoned, forgiven. But what Zacchaeus' actions do are to demonstrate his curiosity. He wants to see Jesus. He's heard of the miracles. The crowds are with Jesus. But perhaps more than being curious, he is concerned. He's concerned because of the spiritual emptiness of his own heart. And if every wealthy person, every one who is very wealthy today, would have the honesty to confess, they find themselves concerned. I was in an interview on the way down with a wealthy person, I think. He talks about fear. Trouble, concern. And his spiritual bankruptcy cannot be hidden. And so he climbs the tree. He'd been climbing the tree, the ladder perhaps, of ambition and success, and perhaps he's got to the top of it. And there is no satisfaction, nowhere else to climb. The ladder, he discovers, it's against the wrong wall. Doesn't bring him peace. Been okay for a while. Everything was going well, but perhaps Zacchaeus is hitting problems in his life. But Zacchaeus doesn't want anyone to know about it. Wouldn't do if the other tax collectors heard about it. He'd go alone, he'd climb the tree where he's not hidden, and he'd see Jesus passing by. And the crowds, you know, they're a challenge for any of us to come to Jesus. And perhaps they're too strong for many. What will the neighbors say? What will the colleagues say? What will others say? That's a huge challenge. If it got out that Zacchaeus, the wealthy man, needed religion or needed God. The fourth thing about him is plight. The crowd comes along. If you imagine a crowd going along a dusty road outside Jericho on their way to Jerusalem, probably hundreds of people there in this entourage with the Lord Jesus. And none of them is aware of Zacchaeus. And no one has told the Lord about Zacchaeus. But the crowd come out, and suddenly Jesus stops. And the crowd don't see any reason why the Lord would be stopping. And Jericho is a city of trees. Hundreds, thousands of trees perhaps now. And Jesus stops beside a tree. And Zacchaeus perhaps is a little afraid to see Jesus stop. You know, he can hear the pounding of the feet on the dusty road. What is pounding now is the heart of Zacchaeus. And every human heart pounds when Jesus, the Son of God, stops right in the middle of our circumstances. And then something else happens. The Lord Jesus looks up into the tree. Whether he physically sees Zacchaeus or not, we don't know. Or he calls out, the Lord Jesus calls out. The one word, Zacchaeus. If you'd been Zacchaeus, what would that have done to you? Who told him I was here? And if no one told him, what else does he know about me? And what does Jesus know? He knows exactly what height Zacchaeus is. He knows how many hairs are on Zacchaeus' head. And more important than that, he knows the thoughts of the heart of Zacchaeus. He knows the emptiness of his soul. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus. He likes us to tell him about our situation, but he already knows. He knows our thoughts. Long before we speak, word is on our tongue. The Lord knows it. But Zacchaeus is afraid. He perhaps is alarmed, but he's astonished. He's astonished when he hears the Lord Jesus speak to him. Zacchaeus, yeah, come down. I like to think that Zacchaeus then had a decision to make. His cover has been blown. Everybody now knows that Zacchaeus is up the tree. But who cares? Zacchaeus could have done two things. He could have said, okay, just continue your journey. That's what all of us perhaps have said on occasions, Lord, you're speaking, but just go on. It's not time. It's not the right time. I'm not ready yet. Just move on. In fact, there couldn't have been a more inappropriate time in the life of Zacchaeus, stuck up a tree. Hundreds of people watching this silly man. Been up the tree. But Zacchaeus makes a decision. It's just as simple as that. And he comes down quickly. Doesn't fall down the tree, picks his steps, he comes down quickly. And perhaps the law of gravity, God's good law of gravity, helps Zacchaeus to come to the Lord Jesus. When we decide to come to the Lord Jesus, all heaven is on our side. Now, you think of it, the circumstances, this greedy tax man, the rich man, the Jews specifically, hate. In fact, he hate him so much that they've excommunicated him. He no longer belongs in Israel. And now the Lord Jesus calls him. Come down because I'm going to stay at your house. Your house? There are lots of other better houses in Jericho than the house of Zacchaeus. The Lord says, I'm going to stay at your house. And so he comes and goes to be with the Lord. And there's almost a gap in the story then because we're not told what takes place the next day. Some might think it's too intimate, it's too precious, it's too important even to be recorded here. The conversation between the Lord Jesus and Zacchaeus. That's what happens when you and I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I come. We don't know how to come. We don't know how to pray. Don't know what to say. All we know is that we need the Lord. And the Lord helps us to come to him. So he had his problem and his plan and his plight. He's in the presence of the Lord. Then something remarkable happens. Zacchaeus comes out from his house and he makes a promise. He says to the Lord, half of my wealth, 50%, I'm going to give away immediately. It'd been a massive sum of money. Give it to the poor. Well, they had taken it from the poor over the years. Taxes. He says, I'll give it back. And if I have taken anything by false accusation, people discuss whether he had taken any or not. Perhaps he did and perhaps he didn't. Well, if he didn't, I don't think he... unless he did, he wouldn't have raised the issue here. If I've taken anything by false accusation, I give it back fourfold. Four times as much as I've taken, I'm going to give it back. I'm going to restore it. What do you think the crowd are thinking? Is something changed? Is something not right here? Zacchaeus, full of greed, longing for money, more money. Now he says, I'm going to give the half of it away. And anything I've taken, you know, wrongly, I'm going to give back four times the amount. Well, there is something that has dramatically changed. It's the new Zacchaeus who's speaking. And it's the evidence that he's transformed. He is born again. He is the new man in Christ. Because that's what the Lord Jesus said. You know, today, Zacchaeus, today, the crowd were there and they muttered, he's going to be the guest of a sinner. But the Lord said, today salvation has come to this house. It's come to the heart of Zacchaeus. He is a new man. And the Lord says, he also is a son of Abraham. Now lots of Jews were listening and they felt because they were of the ethnic Israel, sons and daughters of Abraham, that they were in God's special favor. And God loved them much more than he loved anybody else. Now here's Zacchaeus, coming in from the outside. He's excommunicated. He's not regarded as one of Israel. And the Lord says he's the son of Abraham. How does he say that? Because from now on, from Palm Sunday and the next days and through to Easter Sunday when the Lord Jesus dies on the cross, all those who come, all they need to do, well, they don't need to do anything. It's by grace we are saved through faith. It is through faith that any one of us is reconciled to God. And we become true sons and true daughters of Abraham. That's why the Jews found it so challenging that they would be left behind and left out. That's the only way to salvation. Son of Man has come to look for. He knows all about us anyway. He's come to save us, the lost. Bring us into his kingdom, his fellowship, his church, his body. Write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Purpose for living. Riches satisfy for a little while. But don't answer the big problems, the big questions. Why are we here? What's the purpose of life? And don't give any comfort when the short life ends. And the only thing that gives comfort then is to know that we have eternal life. And we will live with Christ in an expanding, glorious heaven for all eternity. Do you look forward to meeting Zacchaeus someday?